introduce the first of tonight's speakers, Kim.
Thanks,
Dave.
Hi,
I'm Kim, I'm an addict.
Hi, Kim.
Wow. I got asked to do this chair last Friday, and the fear came on me about 2 hours ago. And my heart is just racing. Don't know if to laugh or cry or feel sick, but I do feel privileged to be asked to speak here. I feel very proud to sit here, and when I come in the door, I couldn't imagine I'd be sitting here, you know. Well, you know, if you're new, I just want to welcome any newcomers. If you can't stop using, you know, you're in the right place. You know, the help is here, and also there's a lot more on offer for you here. Well.
Alright, let me go, man.
You know, I got my 3 years clean here last week. And you know, I couldn't imagine that I would have got there when I first come in. You know, my experience before I got here, you know, how I felt for as long as I can remember, it was just, you know, I felt really lonely, really fearful, you know, all the time. I was really sort of introvert. I really struggled at school, you know, very insecure, very inadequate. You know, my solution to that was drugs. That is what my solution was. And you know, just like anything in life, you know, I struggled with the feelings around it. And from a very young age, I used alcohol and drugs to change the way I felt. And, you know, I started off very young, at about 8, you know, it was alcohol one Christmas. I remember that experience and how it changed the way I felt. And, you know, that's what I chased afterwards, you know, ever since. And you know, my solution at school was, you know, the alcohol, the drugs. You know, it was fear. You know, I could never say, I don't understand, or, you know, I just run away from it. You know, my solution was to get stoned in school. And, you know, that's what happened. And then as soon as I could, you know, I was out in the clubs, you know, ecstasy, cocaine. And, you know, I was... I used to go out a lot, you know, in my late teens and early 20s, and it was all about the clubs and, you know, running up credit cards in nightclubs, you know, the champagne and the cocaine and all that, you know. But it just used to go on for days, and I was always the one that wouldn't stop, and, you know, phoning people and just the pain in the arse that... can never stop, till literally I just dropped, you know, and that was it. And, you know, in that, you know, it was the men, you know, the dealers, it was cocaine, and, you know, then it progressed onto crack. And then, you know, where I ended up, you know, I never thought I'd end up there. I ended up, you know, I remember there was this guy from Liverpool who had one wonky eye and a staff, you know, gum disease, who I relied on every day to inject me in my gram of heroin. You know, it was the can of K, you know, in my hand walking down the street. And, you know, the shame. I remember seeing my dad's friends going in the pub, and just the shame of what had happened to me and where I was. And, you know, taking food out of M&S bins to eat, you know, and stealing food out of M&S. That was where I ended up. And, you know, it was... It was, you know, I tried to clean up a couple of times, you know, I went to a couple of detoxes and, you know, a treatment centre in Plymouth, you know, that lasted about 5 weeks before I drank, and then I come back to London. And, you know, I was just playing Russian roulette with my life, you know, people I was going over quite a lot. And, you know, I didn't really care whether I lived or died, to be honest with you. And that's where I was, you know, I didn't want to live. You know, my dad had chucked me out, you know, that had a really big effect on me because I never thought my dad would do that, you know, but looking back now, I knew that, you know, that was really a really good thing for me. Yeah, you know, so I was staying wherever I could, really, and in that, it's just, you know, it's not a nice place to be, and you know, I'd got to nearly the end of my second detox, and I left, and I used, you know, fear. It was always the fear, you know, I'd get to the last day, you know, the fear of not having medication or anything in me, and then I'd be off, and I got to the end of the last detox, and you know, I left to use, and I remember being in this place, literally crawling around on the floor in physical and emotional pain. I'd cut all my legs, you know, my body. I got to the point where I couldn't look at my body. I was just disgusted, you know, what I was using myself for, the shame and that brought on. And I was trying to use more on top of that, and that's where I got. And you know, luckily I got put in a treatment center. Because my angel, a worker, had called me and asked me to come into the drug project, and they kept me there all day till my alcohol levels went down, and the treatment centre took me, even with the opiates and stuff, but they put me in there, and that day I had no bags, you know, I just had what I was standing up in, which was covered in blood, and, you know, I stayed in that treatment centre for 6 months, and you know, even after that, I thought I'd be able to use. You know, I thought when I get out of it, I can use. And I wanted a place to live as well, and I thought I'd get a flat as well in that time, and I didn't. They put me in supported housing, which I really needed. And I lasted about 4 weeks. I'd been to a couple of NA meetings because the people in the dry house were clean and they was doing meetings, but because I still had it in my head I wanted to use, I didn't surrender to this program. And then I used again, and you know, I got with a guy who was selling coke, and that was going on for about 6 months. I wasn't supposed to be using when I was, and you know, that all come to a head. And you know, I was in Barbados smoking crack in a hotel room, and we'd gone all that way to sit in a hotel room and smoke crack, and I just thought, I can't do this anymore. You know, it was just, you know, and I think that's when I made the decision that when I get back, I'm going to do what these other girls are doing, and they was doing this, and, you know, that is what I done. And, you know, I was very grateful they worked with me through this, allowed me to stay in the dry house, and, you know, that's what I done. And I sat in a meeting, for most days, you know, for the first year, every day I was in a meeting, because to be honest with you, I felt really alone, like really lonely. I couldn't sit with myself. It was the gym and it was going to a meeting, and that's what I'd done for the first year, you know. I couldn't sit with myself. Coffee, you know, all that stuff. And I put a lot of, looking back now, you know, that was another addiction in my early recovery. And just want to make people aware, you know, it was. I was actually in pain in my body and still pushing through that pain, just emotionally driven, you know. And I'd actually, thank you, Dean. You know, and that's the addiction. It was the gym, you know. It can be food, you know, anything. My latest thing is the pattern polka dot. So I got bloody oven gloves, doorstop, shopping bag, like underwear, loads of, and it's just like, you know, my addiction just latches onto anything and it just sort of comes out of control. But yeah, you know, my life today, you know, after a year, I got a sponsor, I got my own place, and that's what prompted me to get a sponsor, because when I got in my own place, I wanted to use, and it was either use or get a sponsor and commit to this, and commit to this program, and that's what I've done. And I've worked through the steps, I've worked really hard, I've committed to it, I've kept on going, and, you know, I'm 3 years clean, and my life today, you know, I've done courses, I've worked through all my insecurities, you know, because I went straight back to how I felt at school in the classroom. And instead of running away, I kept on turning up, you know, and with the help and support, you know, I've got through it, and the program allows me to work through the insecurities. And, you know, I've got to the point where I felt really confident in classroom, and I was the first one to open my mouth, and, you know, that just shows if you apply this to any area of your life, you know, you can work through it. And, you know, I get up in the morning, you know, I do pray, I do, you know, I do yoga, you know, I like peace, you know, I'm quite simple, a simple girl, you know, I like peace, I like calm, I like love, you know, I haven't drunk a coffee for a month. I appreciate acts of kindness and care and people that show me love, and that is what I try to give out, and, you know, loving and accepting others for who they are, you know, that is where the work is, and that's what I'm working on at the moment, and not taking things so personally, you know, and that's what the program allows me to do. And, you know, I help others now, which has been an amazing experience, and, you know, all my insecurities come up when I was asked, but it's, you know, it's about me giving what you know, the qualities I have to offer, and feeling I do have something to offer today. And, you know, I'm a woman, I get insecure, you know, but this program, when I apply it, allows me to not behave on them insecurities. I can still welcome an attractive girl in this room, which I think is really important, and just show love and care and be able to put myself, my stuff aside when I apply the program. And, you know, that's what it's about for me today, you know, loving and getting out of myself is by, you know, who can I help today? Or, you know, and they say phone newcomers, and, you know, I do consciously do that in my day now, and people, you know, around my area, and, you know, women, supporting women, I think that's really important. And, you know, I want people to do well, and, you know, if I can help in any way, you know, that is a great thing to be able to do that for someone else, you know. It really is, you know, to be able to have something to offer, you know. That is amazing. And, you know, this is a different way of life. And I struggled in early recovery thinking I was missing out on something, you know, the pubs, the clubs and all that. But I walk in a pub now and I've got to walk out. You know, this is a different way of life, and this is the life I choose to live today. And I leave it there.